You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I've been away for a week and a lot has happened.
You guys, man, I don't know at what point it's an age thing. You get so old that you can't understand what we're saying.
I'm scouring.
Love when Mike T talks about scouring. The thing is about scouring to Mike T. Scour.
Scour.
We're going to scour the entire league, baby.
The game is close.
Exactly.
They are putting you in a headlock and driving you into the ground and then stepping on your neck.
Wendy's putting people in headlocks this morning.
There is a little game coming up on Saturday night, but I'm going to get Jay.
You say something?
Jay Will's trying to grab that hat.
Hey, right, Jay, what you doing, bro? Bench.
I've got some tries and bonds, and I will trap any human that wants to get after it.
You need a spray tan. It helped with a little bit of the tone because you're lacking there a little bit in the bicep area.
Oh, my God, dude. Wow.
I've got high standards. I hang out at the Jersey Shore.
People with the Jersey Shore are eating some things that I'm not allowed to eat. You know, they do drug tests with the WWE.
Pat, you're going to do great. Get that spray tan, buddy.
Good luck, McAfee.
And good luck to us all. It's been a fun week here, as it always is. We're so grateful when you choose to get up with us. We come to you every weekday morning live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed. The squad is here. Chiney's making her way in. Basketball will lead off our hour. Very busy hour we have coming your way. And it starts with what might well have been the game of the year in the NBA. We had Giannis and the Bucks visiting Kevin Durant and the Nets in Brooklyn. And we pick it up with less than 4 minutes to play. And these two superstars came to put on a show. Kyrie Irving, throw it up. Kevin Durant, throw it down. He had 26. The Nets had a 9-point lead. But wait, with just over 20 seconds to go, Milwaukee down by 3. Giannis, oh, what a shot. His only 3 of the night. And it's a statement, a dagger. We were heading to overtime. Kevin Durant has got himself a chance to win it in regulation. It's always a stunner when he doesn't make it, but this one doesn't fall. So to OT we go. Tied at 110. Under 20 seconds to play in the overtime. Durant bringing it up. The Nets are down by 2. He's going to get himself trapped in the corner. The defense then going to lose sight of him. And so it comes back his way, and that's Wes Matthews flying by and undercutting Durant. KD not happy about the play afterwards. Dangerous looking. He'd be okay, certainly okay enough to go up there and knock down all 3 free throws. We did not show you the first 2 that tied it. Here's the one that puts the Nets ahead with 9 seconds left. It's a 1-point game. Giannis just taking it straight to the basket. They can't stop him, and they do foul him. Kevin Durant did not foul him. Nick Claxton did. They don't like the call, but it was a good call. Giannis would go to the line. He would make both to finish with 44 points. So here's the Nets. Last chance. 2-1. KD for the win, and it doesn't fall. Durant scored 26. Kyrie scored 25. But it wasn't enough. Giannis and the Bucks with a statement week. They beat Philly on Tuesday, and they beat the Nets last night. And Giannis is the first player in 40 years. You have to go back to Bob McAdoo in 1975 to find consecutive games in which a player had 40 points, 10 rebounds on 65% shooting. And I will repeat, he did these in statement games against Embiid and Philly on Tuesday night and then last night against the team that is their co-favorite in the Eastern Conference. And so, Zach Lowe and Chiney, again, to you, what is Giannis showing the world with these back-to-back performances?
He's showing the world that he may not be the best player skill-wise, but he's on his path to becoming that best player in the world. The most impressive thing to me was the 3. I mean, that step back, fluid, in rhythm, knocked down. First time he's ever had a go-ahead or game-tying 3. If I am watching, which, by the way, the whole basketball world was watching this game. It was an instant classic. If I'm watching that, we are now stepping into the Giannis Antetokounmpo MVP, Most Improved Defensive Player of the Year evolution. And I am worried. I am concerned because this guy gets better each and every year, and it looks like he's becoming the most – he's already been the most dominant player as of late, but now he's looking like he's stepping into the shoes of becoming the best player.
No, Zach, I mean, that's really what it's about. We build this as the matchup between the two best players in the world last night, him against KD. You just saw Hembo's stat. Giannis has beaten KD the last 5 games they've played, including playoffs. How about Giannis?
He's incredible, and I don't really know what we do with this, like, most dominant, most skilled. There's this idea that Giannis is, like, not as skilled as these other players, and I think what people mean by that is his handle and his jumper maybe don't look like Kevin Durant. I mean, I guess you got to be pretty damn skilled to just be putting up 40, 40, 40, and 10. Defense is a skill. Rebounding is a skill. His free throw shooting is pretty damn good now, and if you can't foul him, there's nothing you can do. And his passing gets a little better every year. The decisions get quicker. The reads get quicker. When you send double teams or overload the floor, the ball is out of his hands. He's finding open shooters when the defense is rotating the wrong way. He just gets a little better every year. And right now, if he's hitting free throws, 15 of 19 last night. Remember we all thought that finals clinching free throw performance was a fluke? What if it's not a fluke? There's just no answers anymore for this guy.
Yeah, we showed you the play. We didn't show you the foul shots, but he made both of those free throws after he got fouled at the very end of regulation and at the end of overtime. And that's, you know, that was a playoff atmosphere last
good.
Night. He looked totally confident, totally comfortable. And so, if indeed that was a preview of what we're going to get somewhere along the line in the playoffs, and I'll sign for that as the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Milwaukee and Brooklyn, 7 games in late May. Chinee, who wins?
I'm taking the Bucks, and I'm sorry that I'm going with the crowd, but it's just because they've been the most consistent team in basketball over the last 4 or 5 years, always getting about 50 wins a year, and they've now got a championship. They have their core identity. Remember, they acquired Drew Holiday not too, like, later in the season and were able to make it work. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton now knows who he is and feels like he can knock down any shot, and then you've got someone, and yes, Zach, okay, maybe the best player, most dominant, most skilled. I think the most important is most dominant. Because at the end of the day, how did they win a championship? He was the most dominant player on the floor. How is he likely now becoming the front runner for MVP? Because he's the most dominant player on the floor, and his team is winning games. They've got all the answers, and I love this for Giannis, and I love this for the Bucks flying under the radar and being consistent.
It's a fascinating week that began with Boston as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, and that seems like about 10 years ago, but it was Monday. As of this moment, does Milwaukee feel like the team to beat in the East to you, Zach Lowe?
They do. And Greeny, you mentioned conference finals. This could be a first round series.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about the Bucks is you have all these teams thinking, ooh, do we want to play the Nets in the first round? Where do we want to get seated? The Bucks are like, forget all that. We don't care where we get seated. Bring on all comers. We're the champs. We're the Bucks. People wanted us to duck Miami in the first round last year, and we said, forget that. We'll just sweep them right out of the playoffs. And so, yes, the Bucks are the team to beat. I'm sorry, Greeny. I can't get there with you on the Nets. The Nets are awesome. They may be the second best team in the East, but the Bucks are the team to beat.
Here's
in the
what
East.
I'm not buying.
In the East. Not overall, maybe. In the East.
Understood. No, Phoenix is the best team in basketball until proven otherwise this season. But here's what I'm not buying. I'm not buying that everyone, Milwaukee is fine with getting the Nets in the first round.
No one wants to play with fire like that.
Nobody wants Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming into their building in the middle of April.
In the first round.
Exactly right. That will be the unluckiest thing that ever happened to anyone. Come on, Zach Lowe. I'm telling you right now, I've got Brooklyn to make it out of the Eastern Conference.
Look, they may not be excited about the idea of playing the Nets. Nobody wants to see those two dudes in front of them for 6 or 7 games. I'm just saying there are teams that are going to jockey. There are teams that are going to have meetings about, ooh, should we try to manipulate the seedings? The Bucks aren't going to have that meeting. That meeting's canceled. They'll play who they play. They're going to try to win every game. They don't care. It's not ideal, but they're not scared. They're not going to do any machinations to get out of any matchup. They're done with that stuff.
And the jokes are great. Thanks, Giannis.
All right, that I'll buy. All right, Chinee, stay close by. We got to get to your game tonight. We will do that. Much more basketball as we go. But we had the big story in the NFL this week. And yesterday, Tom Brady was in attendance as Bruce Arians met with reporters and explained his decision to step down as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Arians also addressing the stories out there about any rift he may have had with Brady. Here's parts of what Arians had to say.
Going through all that process, trying to build next year's team without Tom. And then when Tom said he'd come back, I was like, now it's easy. Now it's easy. We're in the best shape we've ever been. It's no better time to pass the torch than now. We have a great relationship. I mean, all the players who are there, there are a few in here, every one of them's gotten cussed out. As soon as he retired, I think we text every week. Hey, where you at? What are you doing? When are you going to play golf? when you're getting back down this way. And it couldn't be further from the truth.
All right, and so I'll repeat, as I said in leading into it, Brady was one of the players who was there. He was seated right in the front there during that news conference. And of course, he did release that very flowery Instagram post almost immediately upon the announcement of Arian stepping aside. So, Dan Graziano, as you talk to people around the league, what do they think about what, if any, role Brady played in this enormous move?
I think there's probably more to it than they're saying in the press conferences, which is almost always the case, right? But I don't think it's as bad as some have made it out to be. Everybody's been telling me the same thing, which is, no, it's clean, they're telling the truth, etc. So, I mean, we'll take them at their word. But, you know, fundamentally, what happens is sometimes more important than why, right? And the result of this is Todd Bowles is now the head coach of a very good football team. Byron Leftwich is now the offensive coordinator basically the sole, you know, operator of the offense for a very good football team and the greatest quarterback of all time. Those are significant opportunities handed to these people by Bruce Arians, who has been on the forefront of providing opportunities for minority coaches to advance. And this is an issue, obviously, the NFL has been grappling with. Arians is a guy who has walked the walk, and this might be the best example of it.
Yes, up to and including, as I mentioned yesterday, Jan Welter became the first female assistant coach in NFL history under Bruce Arians in Arizona a few years ago. And so, Chris Canty, that, all of that said, Arians stepping away, what impact does it have on Brady's ability to get this team back to another Super Bowl?
Well, it's Tom Brady, so I'm never going to bet against them. I still see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as one of the three best teams in the conference, along with the LA Rams and the Green Bay Packers. Now, what's going to determine whether or not they have that high-end success is going to be Todd Bowles, their new head coach, and how he handles being the head guy the second time around. When he was in with the Jets, I mean, he took over a situation that wasn't the best. It's a dysfunctional franchise, and his best season was in his first year. But we saw the team continue to evolve throughout the tenure of his 4 years with the Jets. So I'm curious to see the lessons that he learned his first time around and how he's evolved as a head coach. The other thing that we have to question is how he's going to manage game planning, because the reports are out there that he's going to handle the defensive play calling responsibilities. So how does he organize the game plan? How does he sequence the play calling, as well as manage the overall game strategy? That's going to be something that's interesting to see.
What I will say about Coach Bowles is that in his first year with the Jets, he had that team knocking on the door of the playoffs going into the final week of the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback. He's got Tom Brady now, Chris Long. So that is a certainly a big step up from him here. Are the Buccaneers right now, with everything you have seen, and this feels a little dysfunctional just changing coaches on March 30th, but it'll long be forgotten by the time we get to training camp. Are they the team to beat in the NFC?
I believe they are. I believe they are because they have Tom Brady. I think as long as you have Tom Brady, you have a fighting chance. And then even if they stay the same, they're better because the division is worse. The conference is worse. Mm-hmm. The division's worse. Everybody's worse. So it's a win-win-win. You know, it's a win for Bruce Arians. He goes out the right way with class, doing what he's always done, looking out for his staff. And Todd Bowles, a guy who really deserves this opportunity. It's not a gift in my mind. You know, like now he gets to coach Tom Brady instead of coaching against Tom Brady in division. And then Byron Leftwich, kind of an afterthought. But I think he'll have a better opportunity than spending $300 billion in free agency in Jacksonville in his first year as a head coach.
Yeah, that was the job everyone thought he was going to get, and the Jaguars spent a bunch of money, and Chris Long doesn't think they spent it particularly well. We will see. They play in the lesser conference in a weaker division, and they've got Tom Brady as their quarterback. It's hard to pick against Tampa right now. As we continue, we're talking about Joe Cool. He dominated the North last season with two new quarterbacks. Is the entire division about to be flipped on its head? We're talking about it in just a moment. Plus, is there trouble in the city of brotherly love? Wait till you hear what Doc Rivers had to say about James Harden's performance last night. What did it mean? We'll tell you as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's always an interesting day when Vegas weighs in on how good teams are going to be because they seem to know things. And so for Dan Graziano's sake, we will make it more or fewer.
Thank you.
As we look at the win totals from Caesars yesterday. Graziano, they gave the Steelers 7.5 as the over-under total. More or fewer?
I got to go with more because of this guy here. He's never had a losing season. Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, he figures it out. They feel good about Trubisky and what he brings to the offense. We'll see how it goes. I just have faith in Tomlin to get to 9 at least.
That feels like Trubisky disrespect.
What?
In that line there.
Oh,
no,
the
I don't
line.
Mean you.
Yeah,
I mean
yeah,
the
yeah,
number.
Yeah.
I agree. That's a startlingly low number. Let's stay in that division. And let's go to the Bengals. Chris Long, 9.5.
Over Joe Burrow, man. Like, what are we talking about? 9.5 wins here. The guy just willed his team to the Super Bowl with no offensive line. I love Joe Burrow. Even his rookie year, they lost a ton of close games. I think the number was 6.5. I don't know why I'd remember that, but maybe I was on the wrong side of that. They lost a bunch of one-score ball games, so I like them over here.
It's another one that feels startlingly low for a team that was in the Super Bowl and seems to have gotten much better. Canty, the Ravens, 9.5.
Going over, G, and maybe this is me being a little bit of a homer with my Baltimore Ravens, but in Lamar Jackson, I trust. Since he's been the starting quarterback, it's been double-digit win season after double-digit win season. It didn't happen for him in 2021, but in Week 18, they were knocking on the doorstep of the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's going to be able to find a way to get it done, and I'm banking that everybody on their defense won't basically be hurt in 2022.
So the Ravens are at 9.5. The Bengals are at 9.5. So are the Browns. So Graziano, 9.5. Cleveland over under.
I'm going under. I think this is too much uncertainty with Deshaun Watson. We don't know how much he's going to be available to them. He also hasn't played in over a year, which has to be factored in. Ravens should be better, as Canty points out. Tough division, some tough out-of-division games. I looked at it last night and got to 9.
Yeah, look, someone has to lose games in that division to the point. We just took you through, it might be the most consistent division in the sport. 3 teams have the over-unders at 9.5. You see that Cleveland is the favorite right now to win the North at Caesars, and that obviously will depend in great part on what we should expect to see with Deshaun Watson and any potential suspension. And I know that the commissioner was talking a little bit about that last week at the owners' meetings. What, if anything, do we know about what time Watson will miss and when we will know it?
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly what the suspension will be. We can look at precedent, but people have to understand there's a different procedure in place. Under the new CBA, the discipline will be handed down by a jointly appointed disciplinary officer, a former judge that the NFL and the NFLPA agreed on. So when Roger Goodell's talking at the owners' meetings, he's saying basically it's not going to be me that suspends him if anybody does. So it's hard to know for sure. He's still under investigation. The investigation could continue, I mean, indefinitely, could last into the season, theoretically, which means discipline wouldn't come, if any does, until that time. So uncertain on timetable and obviously uncertain on the result.
Yeah. I think that's an important point. I want everyone to, I don't know that everyone has grasped that, but it is a new procedure now. You can throw out precedent, at least to some degree, we would think. We don't know how it will impact this. But so, Chris Long, generally speaking, what does Deshaun Watson make the Cleveland Browns?
It's a headache, man. Like, think of all the highs they've had with Baker under center. And most people agree that Baker's not the answer. I mean, they beat Pittsburgh spectacularly a year ago. They've been in shootouts with the Ravens. They've had a number of games where they played over their head with a quarterback that, quite frankly, has frustrated people. And that's the elephant in the room. Deshaun Watson, the last time I saw him play, was on a terrible football team. And he makes chicken salad out of you know what. So that's what he'll do in Cleveland when it breaks down. And then you have the run game and all the things that they built offensively that'll make things nightmarish for defenders.
Look, the names on the backs of the jerseys, Chris Canty, plus a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who, as Chris just pointed out, his team was 4-12. He had one of the great seasons of all time 2 years ago. Yeah. Literally, he's that good. What does he make the Browns when he's eligible?
They're a title contender, and they absolutely should be in the mix to win the AFC North. They've got the best defense in the division when you look at their personnel and the production last year. And they have arguably one of the best run games in the division, not to mention you're talking about having the best quarterback in the division. So when you add all of those things up, it seems to me that you should have a chance to contend for the AFC North title. I'm bullish on the Cleveland Browns. The only thing that I have to wait and see about is whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for a significant amount of time.
No, it's interesting to me, and you see their schedule for this coming season. You just made a statement that I'm sure a lot of people will get all up in arms about. I happen to agree with it. in a division, let me just repeat it, in a division that has Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in it, you're saying Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, Greeny. I mean, the last time we saw Deshaun Watson on the field, he led the NFL in passing. He's that good, and there wasn't a whole lot around him with the Houston Texans. That's not going to be the case with the Cleveland Browns with Kevin Stefanski's offense, and it is tailor-made for Deshaun Watson in terms of being able to have some of the play actions, some of the boots to get him out on the perimeter to stress the defense in that way, both with his legs and his arms. There's not a lot that Deshaun Watson can't do at the quarterback position in the NFL, and Kevin Stefanski is going to unlock all of that. And in turn, Deshaun Watson is going to give his head coach and offensive play caller a whole lot more options when it comes to variation in their offense.
It is so difficult to talk about Deshaun Watson and just to ignore him. You saw it on the screen there. We all understand that he is facing the 22 civil lawsuits, that while there will not be criminal charges brought, that this remains a very serious matter. And we never overlook that, and we don't want it to appear as though we do. But for the purposes of a sports conversation, we do assume that at some point he's going to be eligible to play again, and he's still a very young player. Do you agree, out of those three young stars, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow, is Deshaun Watson the best quarterback?
Well, what did I see him do last? We just talked about it. He was a one-man band in Houston. And then who has the longest track record of success as a quarterback in this league? I think it's Deshaun Watson. And that's no disrespect to those other two guys who are tremendous. But when you talk about a division that's not only physical, but the third best quarterback, you could argue, is an MVP guy in Lamar Jackson. That's scary. And that's going to be a bumps and bruises type, you know,
for all the talk about the AFC West, Dan Graziano, and we have sat here and called it maybe the best division in NFL history, and that's probably right. The AFC North is going to be fascinating to watch, and candidly, I think Pittsburgh is going to be a lot better than most do because I am a Trubisky believer and because of Mike Tomlin. I think this could be as competitive a division as we have in the sport this year.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, Canty mentioned the injury luck of the Ravens last year, just historically awful. So you have to think they'll be better just because that shouldn't happen again. And when Watson is on the field, he should make the Browns better. I'm a little concerned about rust, and I'm a little concerned about potential suspension. I think 2023 Deshaun Watson and the Browns have a chance to be something special. 22, there might be some growing pains. And, of course, the Bengals are going to be tough, as we saw, as long as they have Burrow. So, yeah, I think it's going to be maybe the toughest division to win.
Do not sleep on the AFC North. Meanwhile, as we continue, we will take you out to that AFC West. Is Russell Wilson about to light up the entire conference? One member of our crew says the sky is the limit for Russell, and he means that literally. We will explain and show you what it means. Plus, what the actual heck is going on with James Harden? He had another bad night. His coach called him out afterwards. You need to hear it, and you will, as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up on what is a huge basketball weekend. Zach Lowe is here, and Chinee has changed, or at least added.
I had to go Stanford. Go hard. I'm starting early.
We will get to a preview of the women's Final Four with Chinee and just how nervous she is in a matter of moments. But we start in the NBA here and the performance of the Sixers last night. Joel Embiid in Philly taking on the Pistons. This should be a gimme for Embiid and company, and he did his part, Chinee.
He always does his part, and that's the most disappointing thing because this is a season where he could be MVP, but his team tends to lose these games, and this is the Pistons, Greeny, the Pistons.
It's stunner. He had 37 and 15, but wait, there's more. Fourth quarter, Pistons are within one, and here's Cade Cunningham.
My goodness, there's a big question. I love Evan Mobley, but Cade coming on strong. If he started the season healthy, it's likely he could be the front runner for Rookie of the Year as well. But you make a mistake, and they're going to capitalize on it.
And that mistake is James Harden turning it over, and he had a really bad night. Harden, 4 of 15 from the floor, just 2 of 9 from 3, as you see the miss there. And the Pistons with the win, 102-94. Listen to this. Doc Rivers asked about his bench after the game. Listen.
Well, they didn't struggle. They didn't get a lot of shots, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, that's just a tough night.
Zach, let me turn to you here. There's Doc Rivers saying, well, it wasn't the bench, it was James. They didn't get any shots. I wonder what that could mean. Zach, what do we take of this a week and a half before the season ends?
It's never a good sign when your coach just trails off and is like, it's just a tough night. Like, you just had a bad night at the bar, so it's just a tough night. Look, James Harden, there is nobody, not one coach, GM, player under more pressure going into the playoffs than James Harden. That's what happens when you force two trades in 2 years to get to the place where you want to be. James Harden is shooting 41% for the Sixers, 34% from three. He doesn't look right finishing at the rim. He's still defending at, let's just be nice and say, a below average level. It's just flat not good enough. The Sixers are -9 with Harden on the floor and Embiid on the bench. That's not all on Harden. The Andre Drummond thing is proving to be a big, big deal for both the Sixers and the Nets. It's just not good enough right now. And if we don't get something close to peak James Harden in the playoffs, the Sixers are not getting out of the East.
To be clear, Drummond, who he references, was one of those players traded in the deal with Simmons and Harden. He's in Brooklyn now. And so, Chinee, the question right there, level of concern for James Harden, how would you describe it?
I am not necessarily so concerned because he's still one of the best players in the league. Now, the question is, how bad does he want it? And I thought we got the answer by, going to Brooklyn and then now going to Philly. But the question now is, you're on Philly. How are you going to perform after risking it all to get there? And we're seeing a little bit of lackluster performances, especially in the fourth quarter, and their inability to close games that matter, and also games versus the Pistons, where you're thinking about not just next season, the year after that. And so he can quiet down the noise, especially in the postseason. He should not have waited for the regular. We've seen 30-point games. That's cool, but we really need to see those wins and everyone playing better alongside him for him to quiet the noise.
Yeah, pretty much every real measuring stick game they've had since they've gotten him, they've lost, and last night clearly doesn't go in that category. Meanwhile, let me run the floor. We open the hour with the game of the night and one of the best games of the year. Giannis with a clutch three that tied up a game against the Nets. You see him here working on Drummond and knocking that down. He had 44 points. And in the overtime, Kevin Durant missed that chance to win it at the buzzer, and the Nets beat Milwaukee 120-119. Elsewhere in Chicago, what a night for DeMar DeRozan. He had 50 points as the Bulls came back to beat the Clippers in overtime, 135-130. DeRozan had 27 of his points in the fourth quarter and the OT. And then in Utah, no LeBron, all kinds of problems for the Lakers. They lose again to the Jazz. They've lost 12 of 16 games in March. Now, they are hoping to have LeBron and Anthony Davis back tonight against New Orleans, and they will need that because as we speak, they are on the outside looking in at the play-in tournament. You see they're in a flat-footed tie with San Antonio, but it isn't really because the Spurs have the tiebreaker between the two of them. And so, Chinee, before I get your take on them, Zach, let me just ask you what, if anything, we know about LeBron and AD. This is a monster game tonight against New Orleans for their chances of getting into the playoffs. Do we expect LeBron, AD, to play?
All the reporting and all I've heard is right now their plan is to try to give it a go, see how they feel today. But yeah, you're right, Greeny. This is a must-win. This is a must-win game, period. If they lose this game, they are in huge, huge trouble.
So, Chinee, I've not had you here in a while.
And, I know.
And we have missed you terribly, but you're doing NBA Today with Malika and company out there in L.A. So you are literally across the street from the disaster that has been the Lakers' season. How do we put into perspective where they are right at this moment? What do you see?
I don't see any trend where we can expect them to really want to be, per se, in the play-in just because they've lost 5 out of their last 6 games. We're like, oh, AD might come back. AD might come back. All right, they're waiting. We know LeBron James and AD move together. They're like brothers. Even when AD has been out, LeBron has gone and dapped him up. When LeBron's been out, AD dapped him up. You can tell they move together. I look at this Lakers team. We've seen games where LeBron goes for 40 and they lose. I used to say he just had to go for 30 and they'd win. Now the league has change where you can't rely on just one or two superstars to get you wins, and it's never worked. I think they've had 36 or so starting lineups so far this season, second most in the NBA. They lacked health, they lacked chemistry, and it looks like they lack the effort to really make the play. And some of it might be out of their control based on, you know, the circumstances with LeBron and AD, but overall, this seems like a lost season for the Lakers in a year where LeBron James is tied with Giannis as leader for a scoring title, which is wild, 30.1 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, at the age of 37, he'd be by far the oldest player ever to lead the league in scoring.
By far, Greedy.
I mean, he would be, but we'll see. At this point, it may be all for naught. We'll see what they can do. Speaking of Laker legends, we will have Magic Johnson on this program coming up on Monday. Zach Lowe, thank you. Enjoy the weekend. We'll get back to you. Chinee, stay close. I want to mention again, we've got Magic on Monday morning. He'll be with us right around this time on Monday here from the Seaport. He'll do our show and First Take heading into the final week of the regular season. So we'll have plenty of hoops to talk about there. In the meantime, Chinee, tonight there's a game you might be a little bit interested in, the NCAA Women's Final Four. Game two will feature UConn against your alma mater, Stanford. These teams have met six times in the tournament, but they haven't since 2014.
That's my year. Oh, gosh. Why are you doing this to me?
UConn. Uh-oh. We're losing, Chinee. UConn owns the tournament series at 4-2. Stanford's a 1.5-point favorite. How do we feel?
Okay, why'd you have to do that? Now I'm traumatized because in 2014, that was my final college game. And I started the game like Giannis finished last night, hit a three, and then everything sort of went downhill after that. UConn won and they go on to win. For me, I'm really excited about this matchup. Stanford were the defending champions, but UConn, they got Paige back at the right time. And it seems like this is a year where anybody can step up. Watch Cameron Brink, you see right there. She's a defender. Haley Jones, one of the most talented. She's transformed into a point guard, even though she could be like a big wing. We've got Fran, who just kicked it out to Cameron Brink. Fran's a dunker, and Brink is a blocker, and you see her knocking down threes. Coach Tara, the all-time winningest coach in the Hall of Fame. It's going to be a great matchup against, you know, perennial powers and Gino and Tara and so many talented players on the floor. I think this year it's going to come down to defense. All four teams in the Final Four have at least top 18 defensive ratings. So whoever can lock up the other team will likely win. And I'm hoping... You know, it's my Stanford team. I hope it's Stanford.
We got Jay Will nervous today. We got Chinee nervous today. We're having a lot of fun. Good luck to your squad tonight.
Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you back here. So don't miss the action tonight. We've got the Women's Final Four from Minneapolis. The first game is a classic as well. We have Louisville and South Carolina. That's 7 Eastern. And then the game we were talking about, UConn against the defending national champs. And all the action also streaming live on the ESPN app so you can watch from absolutely anywhere. Meanwhile, let me get back to the NFL crew over here, guys, and let's do the Caesars win totals for the AFC West. Might be the best division we've ever seen. The game is called More or Less. Chris Canty, the Las Vegas Raiders. It's at 8.5 wins, More or Less.
I'm going more, G. Listen, the Raiders had the 11th ranked offense in the National Football League last year, despite losing their head coach in the middle of the season, Darren Waller missing 6 games, and losing Henry Ruggs, their deep play threat, to that tragic accident. Now you're adding Davante Adams to go along with Darren Waller and the best slot in the game in Hunter Renfrow. This is going to be a top-flight offense that's going to lead to a lot of wins.
Dan Graziano, the L.A. Chargers number is at 10. You going more or less?
I'm going more. I'm a believer in Justin Herbert. I like what they've done in the offseason, adding pieces around. Look, this is the Chargers. They always burn you. But remember, Charlie Brown used to try and kick that football, and Lucy would always yank it away. Mm-hmm. One of these years, Charlie Brown's going to kick that football. This could be it for the Chargers.
He never did when I was growing up, but we'll see. Chris Long, coming to you next. The Chiefs are at 10.5, which feels to a lot of people quite low. What do you think?
I think right here you do the thing that doesn't make sense, because it is the Chiefs. You think that's low, but the division is crazy. They've always struggled with the Chargers. The Raiders drew blood, and now you got Russell Wilson in Denver. So I think they'll come on strong late and be right under 10, and they'll be scary at the end of the year. Put them right under 10.
But he's going less. That's noteworthy. And Chris Canty to you. 10 is the number for the Broncos, more or less?
I'm going more, and I think the Broncos are the primary challenger in the AFC West to the Kansas City Chiefs. We know that they got a quarterback in Russell Wilson that can match points with Mahomes, Carr, and Justin Herbert. But I want to focus on what they did on the defensive side of the ball, going out and getting Randy Gregory, a big-time pressure player, to add with Bradley Chubb, Draymond Jones, and Malik Reed. This is going to be a defense that can get after people, and they finished top five in scoring last year. So adding a quarterback like Russell Wilson, being able to have that explosive offense, is only going to make that defense better because they're probably going to be playing with a lot of leads.
And you see the odds there from Caesars. They like KC, despite losing Tyreek Hill and everything else. Kansas City, the favorite. Denver is next there, as they are at plus 250 is what Vegas thinks. So, you know, Chris Long, we have had such a delight to have you here the last couple of days, and we've gone through some of the really big offseason storylines, maybe none bigger than Denver's acquisition of Russell Wilson. What does that mean for the Broncos?
Well, it means a lot. I mean, I think, like, if you're a defensive player, you think about playing Russell Wilson. I chased him for many years in the NFC West. Mm-hmm. Operative word, chase, a lot of the time. But, you know, you get him down some. They're going to be doing that at Mile High Stadium now. I would run some up-tempo. I would wear people out. I don't know. See, the B-roll guy here. Oh. If we're like, this is unfair. They say, like, Rush, I'm running as fast as I can. There is no angle when he bails out of the back of the pocket. When Russell does stuff like this, it can be the most frustrating thing, you know, to be in phase with the Seahawks or the Broncos. And then he makes that one moonball shot. He takes that shot. And those shots in Denver are going to be like Andres Galarraga hitting a baseball because the air is so thin. He throws the prettiest deep ball, dropping the bucket thing. It's going to be worth the price of admission. And as a defensive player, I'd want to see them getting some no huddle. I'm going to get tired watching that, knowing what it feels like up there.
That's interesting. Let me actually just pin you down on those two to be clear. You're saying that chasing him around is exhausting. Anyway, now you put that up in the altitude, and it is going to have a real impact on defensive players.
I think it does, and I think you play with your tempo because of that. Now, the reason he's in Denver and the reason Seattle, in my opinion, parted ways with him is some of the magic ran out a little bit. And if you look at his rating over the past 2 years when he's on the run, extending plays, the numbers back that up. I mean, his rating's like 20 or 30 points lower over the last 2 years than before. He was 111 before the last 2 years. And he's got to know when to extend plays and when to just burn the ball. That's the difference, I think, with him, because he's got a really good defense that he can play complimentary football with, and he should.
How about it, Canty?
Here's the thing I will say about that. We might have seen a decline in the production from Russ the last couple of years, but I think that has more to do with the supporting cast than it does with Russell Wilson's deterioration of skills. He's going to have a better offensive line in Denver.
Yeah.
He's going to
have
a better skill position core in Denver. And when you think about
better than DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Better than DK and Tyler Lockett. Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Jerry Jeudy, and Javonte Williams in the backfield, who went 1,200 yards from scrimmage, splitting touches with Melvin Gordon.
That's the big
This
one.
Is going to be That's a big-time big offense, and people better be prepared for it. Russell Wilson is going to be able to get those guys the football, and he's going to be able to push the ball downfield, an element that's missing from Denver Broncos' offense.
Yeah, I think the thing why he's not in Seattle anymore, they looked down the road a year and said, this guy's going to want $50 million a year on his next contract, and we don't think he's going to be that kind of player over the rest of his career, and that's the decision they made. That doesn't mean they didn't think he was going to have a good year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, he's and even if the extended plays, if his passer rating on those has dropped off, that's a problem, and you hope that he can figure out how to compensate for that. But I think they'll start out hot. I think his energy will be a big factor for them. I'm curious to see whether they sustain it.
Chrissy, I don't want to do this to you, but I think we do have to baptize our new friend Chris. Can we just show one more time him fruitlessly chasing Russell?
I'm tired right now looking at it, dude. But he made me a lot of money, and it was more Tom Cable's group made me a lot of money in Seattle. But
there you are. Come on, show me.
I mean, can we show some Robert Quinn misses here? I mean, yes. Aaron Donald missed him. The best. I can't hold his jock strap. Aaron Donald's the best player in the history of the NFL, and he missed him.
See, Long, I taught you better than that, man. Upfield shoulder of the quarterback.
I mean, that's what's called a double team. I mean, they're just paying a lot of attention to me here. I do want to say on a serious note, the best thing about this, you mentioned Javonte Williams, the whole country gets to watch this kid play.
Yeah.
Because Russell Wilson's going to be getting primetime games, and he's a hell of a player.
Rookie running back last year. No, I more enjoy watching you fruitlessly chasing after quarterbacks.
I was trying to transition. That's what they say. Transition in the biz.
Sneaky, huge signing in the NFC yesterday. Did one team win the Super Bowl on the final day of March? They may have, and we'll tell you which one next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and all morning long we have shown you as Caesars came out with win totals for every team in the NFL yesterday. Let's go through some of the NFC big boys, shall we? Chris Long, they put the number at 11.5 wins for Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers, more or less.
Over. You've got mad Tom Brady. I'm going over. He's angry. He's back. I got Tom Brady.
What's he angry about? He's got everything he wants.
Dude, he's always angry. Okay. He's like, he alternates. You're a champion. Off year, angry.
Yeah, it's either champion Tom Brady or angry Tom Brady. Hey, Graziano, how about the Packers? 11.5 is the number there, more or less.
Boy, you think Brady's angry? Look at that. Aaron Rodgers keeps losing the playoffs to Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm going more. I mean, first of all, Matt LaFleur has won 13 each of his first 3 years as a head coach, so 11.5 would be a drop-off. I just think they'll figure it out, and the division's not very good.
Next stop, Chris Canty, is Dallas. The Cowboys' number is 10.5 wins, more or less.
I'm going less, G, and I resent the implication that the Cowboys are one of the big boys in the NFC. Whoa. I just don't see it. I don't think they're going to win their own division. Last year, they were number one in takeaways. It's hard to sustain that year over year. They lost Randy Gregory. On top of that, on offense, your offensive line is a mess, and you lost 2 key players at the wide receiver spot. I'm going to say less.
Oh, you got the Eagles winning that division?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
And Chris Long, how about your old team here, the Rams? Yeah. 10.5 wins is the number, more or less.
Man, I'll go less just because of Matt Stafford's health. Like, you never know. He might have to miss a game or two. I'm not saying they're not going to be really, really good. But, again, playing law of averages, I've done that once before. We have to defend a title. It's hard. And, they're replacing OBJ as well.
The one thing I will say about them is we can put up the graphic here with the odds to win. They've got Tampa on top, followed by Green Bay, and then the Rams. And maybe part of that is the Rams' division feels like it's going to be much tougher to win than the Bucks or the Packers, and I buy that. But I did mention sneaky big news, and I don't even know that this is sneaky. Bobby Wagner signing yesterday with the Rams in Los Angeles. That feels significant to me. How big a deal should I be making about Bobby Wagner signing there? This is a team that's done a great job of bringing in veterans on reasonable contracts, right? Yep. We've seen them do it with whoever it might be, Von Miller and Odell and other players, and now they bring in. How big a deal is their acquisition of Bobby Wagner?
Well, Les Snead has done a great job, so shout out to Les Snead. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just keep doing this. And Bobby Wagner is a big deal, not just on the field. And, the returns on that are going to be untold until you see a player north of 30 going out into a new team and playing well. But I think in the locker room, it's huge. You're trying to repeat. We've said that over and over again. It's really hard to do. He has experience. He was a play away from being a back-to-back Super Bowl champion in Seattle. And I think not just that, he's motivated. He's pissed off.
Yeah.
And I agree, the way he was let go in Seattle.
What do you think? Do you think does he tip a scale for you there? I mean, they're a really good team. There's a bunch of good teams there. What is the significance of that acquisition?
No, I think the Rams can get back to the defense that we saw 2 years ago when they were tops in the NFL with Bobby Wagner in the middle of it. You're talking about him being the quarterback of the defense. That is a significant impact in terms of being a play caller, but also thinking about how the Rams want to play defense. There are only 5 teams in the NFL that spend more time in sub packages than the LA Rams. And when you do that, you've got to have an off the ball linebacker that's not a liability in coverage and a guy that can hold up against the run when you got a light box. Bobby Wagner has proved that he can do both at an extremely high level. So being able to have Aaron Donald at the front of that defense, Bobby Wagner in the middle, and Jalen Ramsey on the back end, that is going to be a very explosive defense.
Yes, and all of the leadership and the hungry piece of this and everything else, to me, that's a big signing, and we'll see how much of a difference it makes. So let's make our picks in the NFC. As of this moment, it's April 1st, but this is not April Fool's. There was none of that nonsense on our show.
Yeah.
right now, who's the team to beat in your mind in the NFC? Chris Long, I'll start with you.
I don't want to be boring, but it's the Bucs. And I do want to mention the Niners. A lot of people are talking about the Rams. We said law of averages is hard to do, repeating and getting right back where you were, but the Niners damn near beat them 3 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have their number, and if Jimmy G's back, and that's the big if for me, and healthy, I think they're the third contender.
Graziano, NFC, who you like?
Well, Jimmy G's not going to be the quarterback, right? It'd be Trey Lance. So yeah. I'm going to go with Green Bay because I never learn. I'm a believer in Rodgers. I just think one of these years it will work out for them. I'm going to take them until I see otherwise again.
Canty, how about you?
I'm going with the Rams, man. Once you win a Super Bowl, you know it's easier to do the second time around because you have a blueprint and they have the confidence. Confidence comes from demonstrated performance. Those guys have proven to themselves that they can do it. Les Snead's model actually works. F them draft picks. That's where the Rams are at right now. And you see how they've allocated their contracts, investing in Bobby Wagner and then bringing over Allen Robinson with that receiving core. That's going to be the team to beat in the conference.
Okay. And I think you're all overlooking the obvious, which is that during the offseason, the Cowboys are always the team to beat. Again, I will update this the second the season begins. September, any month that ends with the letters B-E-R,
but it's there.
The Cowboys really struggle.
It's there on the screen,
But look, I'm 100% right. Right this minute, the Cowboys are the team to beat. Absolutely. And they will be right until we get, like, roughly the end of August. That's when things seem to fall apart.
You said no April Fool's.
They are the team to beat in the offseason, as they always are. Once the season begins, everything seems to change.
Good.
It was
either
them or the Jets. All right, don't miss the ABC Hockey Saturday matinee tomorrow. We got a good one. We got Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in Colorado to take on the top team in the NHL. Action starts 3 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. All right, first take coming your way, top of the hour here. Is Giannis now the best in the world? Plus, can the Sixers really rely on James Harden? It's first take, and it's 5 minutes away, right here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Before we go, Chris Canty, you played with Chris Long in college. You seem to think he's doing something wrong here. What is it?
Yeah, G, he's got to stay on the upfield shoulder of Russell Wilson. You can't let him get outside of you, man. I taught him better
Coach
than that.
Canty.
Greedy, I taught him better than that. He was my backup my last year at UVA in 2004. I made sure at the McHugh Center that I told Chris Long, stay on the upfield shoulder of the quarterback. Matter of fact, your dad taught you better than that,
you
too.
You and so many D-line coaches.
You know better.
Upfield shoulder. Where is the upfield shoulder? Or is it 30 yards down the field all of a sudden? If I go upfield shoulder, then there's a B-gap escape lane, dude.
All I'm saying is stay upfield shoulder on Russell Wilson. That play doesn't happen. I blame you.
That's what I've always said. I know
Chris
that.
Chris Long, we've enjoyed having you here. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Get me a quarterback spot.
First take starts
Get
now.
Me a quarterback spot, man.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.